Part of what we saw at the January 6th Capitol riot as committee hearing video is painfully reminding us of was an expression by many of what's come to be called Christian nationalism. Our next guest joins us to delve further into what Christian nationalism is all about and what it's provoking nationwide at all levels, too. You might have seen the results of some of that provocation, but maybe didn't understand what's behind it, what's creating it. With us to explain this is the Executive Director of the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty and Christians Against Christian Nationalism, Amanda Tyler. How are you today, Amanda?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
And two websites, we have them linked at our homepage, too, ChristiansAgainstChristianNationalism.org, and for the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty, that's BJCOnline.org. Well, let's start with the basics and branch out from there. When we say Christian nationalism, it's also been called white Christian nationalism. Are they one and the same? Are they different factions? Do they have ties to one another?
They absolutely have ties. I think that white Christian nationalism is a more specific kind of Christian nationalism, but I do think definitions are always important. So when we talk about Christian nationalism, we're talking about a political ideology and a cultural framework that tries to merge the identities of Americans and Christians, saying they're one and the same. So in that way, Christian nationalism supports the idea that to be a quote-unquote true American, one must be a Christian and often a very particular kind of Christian. White Christian nationalism acknowledges that Christian nationalism often overlaps with and provides cover for white supremacy and racial subjugation. And so I think that often in the American context, when we see Christian nationalism, we are talking about white Christian nationalism.
Which explains why this might be an easy reference point for you listening. If you recall the Charlottesville protest/riot when the mob was marching through saying we will not be replaced, that was the catalyst, that system of beliefs that Amanda described. And it's not just whites lashing onto blacks. Anti-Semitism is also a big part of Christian nationalism, is it not?
Absolutely. I think any kind of suggestion that one's belonging in American society is contingent upon one's theological beliefs or one's religious identity, that is an example of Christian nationalism. And so anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim expressions, even, you know, bias or discrimination against those who don't claim a religious identity, all of those are examples and manifestations of Christian nationalism in the American context. And what is so troubling, of course, about Christian nationalism is that it is antithetical to our country's promise of religious freedom for all, the promise that is protected in the U.S. Constitution and in the Bill of Rights and in a host of other legal protections. All of those are threatened by this ideology of Christian nationalism.
Now, if you know your history, you can go back to the Declaration of Independence. You see references to a supreme being as part of the guidance that was used and embraced in the crafting of the creation of America. But again, even in the Declaration of Independence, religion is mentioned in as broad and general way as possible. It doesn't say we are a Christian nation being founded under God, for example.
That's right. And Christian nationalism relies heavily on this mythical and false narrative of the United States as founding as a quote-unquote Christian nation. It repeats these myths, piecing together examples of maybe some founding fathers making reference to God or to the Bible in their public remarks as evidence in their view of the United States as founding as a Christian nation. But looking at the history, looking again at the founding document of the U.S. Constitution, we see that the founders had a very different view. You know, for one, they were not all Christians. They came from different perspectives, deists, for example, and different perspectives. But when they came together to found the country and the U.S. Constitution, they don't mention Christianity or God. And in fact, the only reference to religion or religious in the U.S. Constitution is in Article 6, where they say there will be no religious tests for public office. And so if the founders were actually trying to set up a Christian nation, the last thing they would have done would be prohibit religious tests for public office. And in making this choice and in choosing that the government would be neutral when it comes to religion, they were settling an open debate at the time. You know, many of the colonial governments did have established religions or did have religious tests for public office, but the founders of the country were making a different choice for the United States. They were making a choice that our government would remain neutral when it comes to religion, that Christianity would not be privileged, that no sect of Christianity, no denomination would be privileged, and instead we would all have equal citizenship no matter what we believed. And that choice protects religious freedom for all, and it's that protection of religious freedom for all that is being threatened by Christian nationalism.
Talking with Amanda Tyler, who is the Executive Director of the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty and Christians Against Christian Nationalism, ChristiansAgainstChristianNationalism.org, BJCOnline.org, and yes, we have those links over at our homepage as well, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. This is obviously a large number of people, again, referring to the videos that we've seen in Charlottesville, Capitol on January 6th, many other instances, but it seems to be gaining its staying power by the more notable people who are encouraging it, trying to gain the embrace of the people who are part of this movement, I guess we'd call it, for lack of anything else. Why does this make sense to so many people who you would think would know better?
Well, you know, I think this ideology of Christian nationalism is not new. Historians who have studied Christian nationalism really can date different periods of our history where we see high marks for Christian nationalism. One of them is all the way back in the generation after the founding, where our young country was looking for extra prominence on the world stage. And so wanted to, again, create this myth that God's providence was uniquely with the United States, that God had a special plan for the United States. And so this ideology, this cultural framework is deeply rooted in American society. And so I think what we've seen in recent years are people, powerful leaders, who are exploiting this ideology, exploiting this myth in order to gain more support for their cause, for this idea of merging political and religious authority to, for instance, trying to make it seem like it was part of God's plan that President Trump be elected in 2016 and therefore also part of God's plan that he be reelected in 2020. And then when faced with election results and faced with lies that the election had been stolen, then that ideology of Christian nationalism was supercharged at that point, and that this cause of trying to overthrow the election took on not just political significance in some people's minds, but also religious significance. And so I think what we've seen are people in power exploiting Christian nationalism for their political aims in recent years, and we've seen how dangerous that is, not just to American democracy, but also to the integrity of Christianity itself.
And not just political platforms, too. You have people in media like Tucker Carlson, who uses it to try to draw ratings and audiences. You have pastors like Paula White Cain, who tries to get people into her circle for monetary reasons, of course, because she likes to peddle a lot of things. Seems like there's a lot of people who have to go back to their Bible, who claim to be Christians, do a little more study on the idea of idolatry, don't you think?
I do. I think that is one of the big concerns about Christian nationalism, is people can get their allegiances mixed up. That if we start to worship country, then we can put that worship over the worship of God, and that is idolatry. And we at Christians Against Christian Nationalism affirm that we can be patriotic, and we can do so without minimizing our religious convictions. And I think that's a really important point, that Christian nationalism is different than patriotism. Patriotism is a love of country, but nationalism is an allegiance to country that demands fidelity over everything else, including our religious convictions. And so if our patriotism causes us to sacrifice our religious convictions, it has ceased to be patriotism. It has become nationalism. And that's what we really need to push back against, not just as Americans, but also as Christians.
So at ChristiansAgainstChristianNationalism.org, you have a statement that people can sign on to, which is a great start. And as God teaches us, it's just not words that make a difference. It's actions as well. What's something else as someone who is listening right now? And yeah, I'll put a link as well over to the report you have, Christian Nationalism and the January 6th, 2021 Insurrection. When people understand really the threat that this movement is posing, what are some of the things that they could do to combat it?
Yeah, absolutely. After signing our statement, Christians Against Christian Nationalism, I would encourage everyone to look at the library of resources that we have available on the website. We have created easily shareable and downloadable resources, all free, to help understand Christian nationalism, to have conversations with people in your community. We have a podcast series with a discussion guide. We also have a three-part curriculum that uses biblical texts that could be used in a Sunday school or other small group conversation. We have things to put on your social media feed. I think it's really about stopping the spread of the mythology that underlies Christian nationalism. When you hear things that try to merge our identities as Americans and Christians together, then have a conversation. Have a conversation in your social media feed. Have a conversation with people in your friend and family group. Question some of those assumptions, because those assumptions have gone unquestioned, and that's how Christian nationalism has festered and spread to what we see today. So it really is up to us as individuals to help stop the spread of Christian nationalism by seeking to understand it, recognize it when we see it, and call it out with, again, some of these resources that can bring people together. Because one religion does not unite us as Americans, but our commitment to supporting each other's religious freedom can. And we hope that these resources can help you have these sometimes challenging conversations.
And you'll find what Amanda is referring to are ChristiansAgainstChristianNationalism.org. She is the executive director of the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty and Christians Against Christian Nationalism. Amanda Tyler, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.